The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Okay, good morning. Welcome. That was a bunch of long intro music, and I always, when I get a chance to fill in, it's hard to know where that ends and where host begins. Great fun listening to Jorge and Javier that last 3 hours. And yeah, Matt Dunn in for Randy Corcoran. Here we are. I'll be back tomorrow night, 4 to 7 p.m. But I don't know. I just thought I'd show up and see if there's anything on anybody's mind here this morning, you know. Might have to talk a little bit about Arizona, the Arizona audit. Anybody get a chance to listen to the hearings yesterday? They went on for many hours, and the Arizona audit report landed. And I'll tell you what, my skin was crawling just listening to all of that and listening to all of the testimony. Thinking about, man, that doesn't sound good. Oh, that doesn't sound good. Oh, they did that. Oh, so yeah, I was listening to that, and I've got the relevant audio clips. I just grabbed a handful. I mean, it's multiple hours of stuff, and so you just have to pick a few pieces of it and throw them on out there. Maybe we can listen to some of these items together. And get a sense, you know, hey, what are people thinking about all that went on yesterday about the Arizona audit? So let's look at that. I'm anxious to kind of see how people are feeling. And I'll just tell you this. Yeah, my skin was crawling. And I haven't processed everything about it. I didn't get to hear the entirety of it. But I heard, I'd say, at least a few hours of it and then did quite a bit of research into it. But I do notice, yeah, there's not a whole lot of commentary out there yet on Arizona. It's still sort of fresh and open and undetermined exactly the status. But I think in the end, we've got more questions raised by the audit than answered. And still, we're going to be in the total free-for-all on these particular issues. And you just know where the mainstream media is going to go, and you know where the Sunday shows are going to be going with all this. But I just think, you know, you should kind of listen to this stuff yourself. Read a good chunk of that report yourself and get a sense of where you stand on it, and just know the media is going to do what the media is going to do. And we will, we'll just go through some of these items here as this morning rolls on. And so I think first hour, let's devote quite a bit of it to Arizona and what happened and the evidence that came out and the things that Dr. Shiva had to say and Ben Cotton, the computer security analyst, had to say. And President Trump apparently going to have a rally in Georgia tonight, another one of those big packed house rallies. And he will add his commentary to what he thought about what went on yesterday in Arizona. So let's look at all that. I should cue this up, that in the second hour of the program, guess who we've got coming in? Anybody ever heard of Mitch Rapp? Anybody ever heard of the author Vince Flynn? Well, the individual that is writing the Mitch Rapp, Vince Flynn thriller novels right now, a fellow named Kyle Mills, tell you he's going to be calling in from Spain. And I thought, second hour, hey, we can talk about his brand new book, Enemy at the Gates, which I have read and digested and thought was just a great, fun, excellent thriller read. So why don't we get to talk to Kyle Mills, the guy who has inherited the Vince Flynn legacy, the iconic Mitch Rapp character. And I know a lot of folks read these books. Rush Limbaugh was a huge fan of Vince Flynn. And so the legacy goes on. And Kyle Mills, I mean, that guy has taken that franchise and has run with it. And I have enjoyed every single one of Kyle Mills' books in that whole series. And I thought, hey, what a great chance to sit down, got a new book out, and chat about, you know, hey, what's up with this new thriller, and what's it like to inhabit the character of Mitch Rapp? And how do you write thrillers and so forth? You know, what's it like to sit down and conceive some of these plots and develop the characters that are involved in all these world crises that you read about? And, you know, I always think you read thrillers, you can learn a lot about geopolitics, or at least get you thinking in certain ways about current events. So that'll be the second hour of the program. Very much looking forward to that. Maybe we'll see what's going on in Spain. The wide open border has taken kind of an interesting turn, in that now they're like banning horses from the border, the Biden administration. They're kind of, you know, blaming the border control agents for doing their job and trying to secure the border just a little bit. And apparently that little bit is even too much for the Biden administration. So, yeah, we'll look at that. Kind of a big photo came out. You could look at the photo and say, oh, it looks like that guy on horseback is using some kind of a whip on this illegal immigrant crossing the border. And it's actually, you know, it's just the reins of the horse. Of course, it was all misconstrued and misinterpreted, but the Biden administration is running with it and pushing it. And yeah, what a joke administration. Everything in the Biden era is bad news. You notice that? Everything in the Biden administration is just a big pile of fake propaganda where everything is going in the wrong direction. You feel like that? I mean, everything is just like wrong direction in the Biden era. It's just, oh. Yeah, I talk to so many folks, and I've never seen people this distraught about, you know, the future of the country, the direction of the country. And I saw this that, you know, Ken Burns, the documentarian who most recently did the Ernest Hemingway documentary, which I have yet to watch, though I did download it, and I keep not finding time to sit and watch my Hemingway, but has a new one out about Muhammad Ali, which anecdotally I've heard from a few folks that say, man, that was good. That was good. You got to watch this Muhammad Ali thing. And so maybe I'll get around to that. But long windup to say that Ken Burns is saying that, it's really bad in America. There's like this big sense of doom going on in this country. And he says, here's what Ken Burns just said a few days ago, that it's really serious. It's really serious in America. There are three great crises before this one: the Civil War, the Depression, and World War II. This is equal to it, end quote. So, right now, says Ken Burns, that, you know, we are in the middle of some kind of a great crisis on a par with the Civil War, the Great Depression, and World War II. And, I mean, this guy, I believe he's done documentaries about all those items. Of course, I remember his Civil War documentary. And did he do one on the Depression? Probably. Though I haven't seen it. I know he did one on the Dust Bowl. I watched that. And World War II. Yeah, I did a big long one on that. So, I mean, he at least, you know, knows what he's referencing there. All right. So let's talk about, the sense of doom. The sense of doom everyone's feeling here in the United States of America. And how about some COVID items let's get to, and healthcare worker shortage, okay? I think it is happening. I think we're in the middle of it. I think you've seen Children's Hospital start to scale back their availability for scheduling appointments and so forth, in part, you know, because of a healthcare worker shortage that seems to be inspired by the vaccine mandate. All right. Now, that's very concerning to me. And I could be the first talk show host in America who came out and said that, you know, you do the vaccine mandate and what you're going to get is a healthcare worker shortage. That's going to happen. And sure enough, it does seem to be happening in various locations around the country. All right. And Tucker Carlson did a thing on that last night, the healthcare worker shortage, and that's among other things that are going the wrong way in the Biden administration, is that, according to Tucker Carlson, nobody has done more to screw up America's healthcare system than Joe Biden has done in his first 8 months in office. So I'm afraid that that is the case, and we'll see how long they want to stretch that on. That if they're really, you know, are ERs and hospitals overflowing with COVID patients with all the symptoms, that does it improve things or does it harm things if suddenly we have a healthcare worker shortage and they can't be tended to properly? So, of course, you know, I'd like to see some of this rethought. I'd like to see Biden rethink some of these concepts that he is, you know, that the installee is pushing on the country. Little vignette, do you see, I guess, Ryan Call, former Republican Party chairman here in Colorado, just got himself disbarred. And I noticed some of the headlines on that were making it seem like, you know, well, he was this guy on the Trump world and the Trump pack, and he embezzled money and admitted it and all that. But the thing to remember about Ryan Call, if you saw some of those headlines that sort of came out yesterday, is that, you know, Ryan Call is a card-carrying, never-Trumper, pro-Romney, never-Trumper, Biden voter, came out and endorsed Joe Biden. I believe it was even in 2019 he endorsed Joe Biden for the presidency. And so just, you know, it's kind of interesting about the kind of leadership, you know, we've had in the state Republican Party going back at least a while into the Ryan Call era. And I believe, I don't remember exactly what years he was in there, but apparently we're having a little embezzlement issue. And so now disbarment for Ryan Call, that might come up here as the program goes on. But at any rate, I think at first, why don't we dive in to a bit of what was going on in Arizona. And my goodness, those text messages are flowing right in. The phone lines already full of action. 303-696-1971. And yeah, name is Matt Dunn. I do Backbone Radio on Sundays around here. Randy Corcoran and I have an awful lot of similar viewpoints. So I say, you know, hey, if you tend to enjoy some of the Corcoran program, you might just find yourself enjoying Backbone Radio and vice versa. And he is out today, and I'm not sure exactly what the good Randy Corcoran Esquire is up to today. I'm sure it's something cool and groovy, wherever and whatever it happens to be. But Arizona, how are people feeling about the way that came out? And I guess I'm saying it seems like it raises quite a bit more questions than it answers. But one thing I wanted to just throw out there before I head off to the phone lines is, and I've got some Dr. Shiva stuff, I've got some Ben Cotton stuff and some other summary points to look at, but you're seeing some of the senators in Arizona say that, hey, we got to decertify this election. You're seeing Donald Trump say that, hey, we got to decertify this election. There's a note, 41 lawmakers from 15 states are calling for a 50-state audit and decertification where appropriate. Go down a big, long list of reactions here. And I don't know. I think the mainstream media is going to take this and run with this and say, yeah, there is nothing there. They just didn't come up with anything. But in the end, take a look at the question mark around 57,734 ballots that have very serious issues. The Biden alleged victory was only 10,000 votes. 10,000 votes. So we've got 57,734 ballots in serious question now. And I guess the way they conduct the audit, they can't get to the bottom of everything. And I did kind of wonder, you know, okay, full forensic audit, they're going to be able to get to the bottom of everything, right? They'll be able to do signature validation. They'll look at, you know, who everybody is who is actually voting and, you know, are they citizens and all. But apparently they were kind of limited in scope. So, I mean, would you say that's a full forensic audit there? Would you say that was kind of somewhat of a partial audit, somewhat limited by their scope of what they were allowed to do? But apparently quite a few blanks went through. Dr. Shiva found 17,000 plus duplicates, and they tended to come in right after the election. A whole bunch of duplicates coming in after the election. Huh. duplicate ballots right afterwards, and if duplicate ballots are coming in right after the election, does that mean that they knew how many that they were going to need to get over the top? And so that's where the duplicates came in. I guess we can't answer that for sure. So in the end, it's off to AG Mark Brnovich for the next steps here. Senate President Karen Fan in Arizona has written a letter to AG Brnovich recommending the next steps and potentially law enforcement going to be involved and saying, hey, where'd those duplicate ballots come from? How come Maricopa County said they didn't have any duplicate ballots? But Dr. Shiva Ayudarai finds 17,000+ of them. All right. So did they get caught? Did they not get caught? Does the deep state win again? Or does the truth win again? Again, I feel like there's an awful lot of questions still swirling here. And so just to get this in the record here, let's just hear what Dr. Shiva said about the duplicate ballots. And again, this is the MIT guy with the truckload of degrees, the PhD, the master's degree from MIT. Very smart individual. And when he was saying some of this stuff, the crowd was gasping at this one on the duplicate ballots here.
What we did was we did further analysis on the blanks. The duplicates and the EVVRE. And this is what's interesting. So what we're plotting here is the duplicates as a function of the daily percentage of EVVs. So here's a signal. But what you see is suddenly this, what you may call a significant growth in percentage. In fact, in several of these days, there's 96% of the ballots that came in on two of these days are duplicates. So there was a serious number of duplicates. In fact, the area under this curve is close to 30%, 25-30% of the duplicates came in between November 4th to November 9th. And that motivated us to also, on the same plot, drop the blanks and the scribbles. And you see the same phenomenon there.
Yeah, Dr. Shiva on the duplicate ballots coming in between November 4th and November 9th. Doesn't that end up kind of making your skin crawl? I mean, who did these duplicate ballots? How did that happen? How did Maricopa County miss them? And again, with 57,734 ballots in question that have serious issues and the Biden margin of victory only 10,000 for the state of Arizona. And again, that's 57,734 just in Maricopa County. That raises an awful lot of questions, and we'll start going through more of this here, but what if we just took a quick hello here with Joe in Arvada? Joe, welcome to the program. Thanks for checking in this morning.
Hi, Matt. What I was just stunned by is, of course, the echo chamber of pre-audit release nonsense started spilling out in the morning by somebody who leaked a draft copy. They didn't have any of the real information from the audit. All they had is the summary. And what happened, even on your station, closet liberals started coming out saying, it's all over, Biden won, instead of listening to the audit. If they'd have listened to the audit, they'd have found some things that they directly contradicted, including that the machines are online. Hello, closet liberal. They found that the machines are connected.
And
Hello. There
was all kinds of remote access going in and out of the machines.
600,000 yep. Files were missing.
Yep, the deleted files, deleted the day before the audit started. I'll review that set of sound bites here coming up. But yeah, Joe, you got a chance to hear quite a bit of it. And
I listened to all of it.
Okay.
I went online because no TV network covered it. They just kind of went in and out from the audit.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually got on the internet and listened to the Arizona Senate hearing, which is something some supposedly conservative talk show host should actually do. Do some research. Come on, people. There was so much fraud. The equivalent, after you listen to the audit results, you realize what the equivalent is, yeah, they came out with, if a bank audit did an audit, they found that the money was the right amount of money, except for all the bills are fake.
Are you still there?
If you did a bank audit, all of the bills would be fake. In other words, the ballots themselves are bogus. Come on, people.
Right. And they found non-standardized paper. I guess there was over 10 different kinds of paper, and so that makes it harder to do some of this forensic stuff. But, I think you're going to end up having basically everybody in the mainstream media is going to be commenting on Arizona, and they will not have actually watched those multiple hours of the hearing yesterday, of the testimony yesterday. But, they're going to take their narrative run with it. They even came out with their narrative in the morning, and you knew they were going to do that, of course. And that's just, the way the system works. But what I would have people do is let's listen to
conservatives fight on it.
Well, and that's interesting to me that I'm not seeing the conservatives over like at the Federalist or at American Greatness or Tucker Carlson last night, he starts his show, about the healthcare worker shortage and COVID issues. And so there's not a whole lot of commentary out there and from the conservative world. And so I'm kind of a little perplexed by that. I say, hey, what are people thinking about all of this? And there could be a little bit of digesting process that is happening. But, that's kind of where we are.
Do your research. You had to spend 3 hours listening to the audit instead of making up your mind before the audit delivery.
Right. But you just know, that's what they're going to do. I mean, you know that in advance. And that's where we find ourselves. But I salute you, Joe, for listening to that whole thing. And I mean, did you kind of end up having some awareness of like, man, there's all these different ways that the election can get a little bit suspect, right? There's all these different things they can do, and there's all kinds of ways to like delete stuff, and cover your tracks. And it gave me a bunch of thoughts. I'm like, I didn't know that is the kind of thing that could happen. I didn't know that was a possibility. It's quite a complex and overwhelming process.
There's over 50,000 ballots in question. How can you certify an election that has 50,000 questionable ballots and obvious connected to the internet and missing files out of their supposedly safe system? How could you ever certify that? It's a sham.
Yep. And how do you actually get a full audit if the files have been purged? So that's
conveniently the system, Dominion system, was just like in the Jenna Griswold situation. They came in and they removed election files in March. Just kind of sauntered in and let's dump the evidence. Let's get it out. Let's get it off them machines. That's exactly what's going on in Mesa County right now. Don't buy the liberal media. Don't buy the Secretary of State's, press release. The Tina Peters is standing her ground. We need to stand with her.
And are you still there?
Yeah, I'm sorry, my phone must be cutting out.
Okay, because sometimes I get this little pause in my headset, and I'm just listening. And by the way, somebody just texted in, "I love Joe," as in you, Joe. So you're generating text to the studio, just so you know. And I keep getting waved at that we're running along for this segment. But I'm going to pick it up right where you left off, sir. And thank you for the excellent points and for taking the time to do the research and do the digging and listening to what went on yesterday. And we'll unfurl more here as the program goes on. But Joe in Arvada, looks like people out there are loving you, man. So keep it up.
Thank you, Matt, for keeping it up.
You bet.
We need to pull the flag back up the pole.
Right on, Joe. Well, thank you for checking in this morning. And I'll tell you this, Matt Dunn in for Randy Corcoran will be right back. Oh, yeah, there's the cowbell song. Blue Oyster Cult Yeah, it's a cult, I tell you. The ruling class cult out there, but in summary, 57,734 ballots in question in Maricopa County. The Biden margin was only 10,000 in the state of Arizona. Duplicates found over 17,000. Bunch of blanks found. No system security upgrades. One password for everybody. No changes to the original password. Shared user accounts. Remote access. Yeah. The purging of the election data on the day before the audit started. We'll go through all of this as the program goes on, and much of it's going to drip over into all the way to hour three. I'll be presenting at least a handful of findings that I was able to drag out that I thought would be most relevant here. Guess who just checked in? Guess who just called in? The one and only Randy Corcoran checking in to say hello. Where is this guy, Randy, and what are you doing, man? Welcome to your own program.
Dr. Dunn, man, the first thing I've got to say is that 1 week away is a vacation. 2 weeks away, it's like withdrawal symptoms.
Yeah, are you feeling that? Yeah.
You're feeling it, yeah. So I'm down in Colorado Springs at the Center for National Policy. It's one of the oldest conservative movement groups founded by, you know, people like Richard Viguerie, the guy who also founded the Heartland Institute. I was invited down by Jenny Beth Martin from Tea Party Patriots. I'd never paid any attention to this organization at all. It has been a wonderful, masterful, informative weekend, and I got to meet Barry Goldwater.
Barry Goldwater?
Barry Goldwater Jr.
Oh,
Barry
Jr. Goldwater's, yeah, okay.
But his son looks like him, sounds like him, talks like him. It was fascinating to have some interactions with this guy. And
speaking of Arizona,
no kidding. So that's why I'm away. I wanted everybody to know that we had filed a lawsuit against the mayor, chief of police, and Department of Public Health in Denver on behalf of a group of Denver police officers to try and stop the vaccine mandate. A couple weeks ago on the show, I had an officer, 34, four kids, had COVID last year, full of antibodies in his, you know, and but they made him take the jab. He took the first one. Now he can't walk. And so that and a host of reasons brought us to the conclusion we had to do something to try and stop it. And we'll have our court hearing on a preliminary injunction Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock in Denver.
Hey, good work on that. Lawsuit related to the mandatory vaccines. And again, that's a Denver police officer.
Yeah, he's not one of our plaintiffs. He was on the show 2 or 3 weeks ago, though. Can't walk after a first jab. But literally, we could have filed a complaint for 300 Denver police officers. We've had so many people calling our office. We selected 7, and we'll be in court Wednesday morning.
Okay, well done, Randy Corcoran. And I guess elephant in the room, I don't know if you've had a chance. I know you're on the road. You're on the move. Any preliminary thoughts on Arizona audit? What was going on down there?
Well, you're right. I haven't gotten to dig into the details, but here's what I love. The people who have been saying for months, oh, it's a joke, the cyber ninjas, you know, don't pay any attention to it. Now they're touting some totals that they came up with that say, see, Biden won. And so they're giving it credibility, but they're ignoring significant details like the number of duplicate ballots and signatures and canvassing is going to be critical. It's insane how the mainstream media and the, I wouldn't say slow thinkers, but the sort of superficial thinkers about these issues are glomping on to the latest Washington Post headlines and not paying any attention to the details.
Yep, I have noticed that. And you knew they were going to do that no matter what went on, no matter what happened. But they're going to be doing it in full force. And I'm just thinking, let's go through these items. Let's go through those numbers and let people, you know, think for themselves on this and just knowing what the onslaught is going to be from the left. Okay.
Well, without a doubt. And, you know, when you've got an entire state that was lost by technically or theoretically lost by 11,000 votes and you find 50,000 plus, you know, duplicate votes and signature problems and the whole nine yards. And then everybody wants to say nothing to see here. Let's move on. I'm over it. Matt, I don't want to interrupt the show. I've got to get back to work myself. Thank you for filling in the last couple of weeks, and hope to return the favor.
Honored to do it. And I should mention that I believe we have you slated to do a Backbone Radio program coming up in the next week or two, and we'll give more details on that as I have my schedule rolled out. So, Randy, thanks in advance for being able to do that, and have fun hanging out with Richard Viguerie, great conservative author, writer, former writer for National Review back when that was a fine publication down in the Springs. So all the best, Randy Corcoran.
Thank you, Doc.
Right on. We'll be in close touch, sir. Thanks, Randy, for checking in. And, yeah, just a few tidbits there from the host of this program himself. Okay, and with the lines being as full as they are, should I go right to saying hello to everybody? What if I did one little clip, and this is on that purge, the day before the audit. This is from Ben Cotton, the computer security specialist, the Patriot veteran individual, and here's what he had to say on that little matter.
Let's talk a little bit about log management here. So there is a federal statute that requires the preservation of election-related materials for 22 months after the date of the election. That applies not only to paper, but that also applies to digital artifacts. Maricopa County failed to preserve the operating system security logs to cover the dates of the election. They provided security logs early in the audit process, but they did not provide the Windows security log itself. When we examined the EMS server, we found that the dates covered by the security log only went back as far as the 5th of February, 2021. Now, there's a couple reasons for that, and we'll go into those later. But the bottom line is that they failed to preserve those logs, or at least those logs were not turned over to the auditors. And so I'm assuming, since they were part of the subpoena, that those should have been provided had they been present.
Okay, so that's where the law is. You're supposed to keep election materials for 22 months after the election, and apparently they did not do that. He was unable to track this stuff down. It was just gone. That wasn't the purge the day before the audit. That's another clip. I jumped the gun on the clip selection there, but that's another one from that Ben Cotton, who I find that was a very persuasive fellow up there speaking. I tell you what, without further ado, let's say hello on the phone lines, and I'll just be going in order here. Ron in Conifer, what thoughts are you having, Ron? Let's see if I can bring Ron. There
Jordan,
we go.
Should,
actually, start over. I there was a delay on the button pressing there. Ron in Conifer, okay. Yeah, thank you, sir. Welcome.
All right. Well, first of all, did they or did they not conclude that it didn't make any difference, that that Biden still would have won regardless of the irregularities?
Did they conclude that?
Yeah.
And I think that you had that Doug Logan guy. He said that, and he's like the head of the cyber ninjas.
Uh-huh.
I think he actually said that. I wasn't able to find that actual quote, but that's what the New York Post is saying this morning in their essay about the matter.
But and how? Go ahead.
I would wonder, did he really? Is that what he really indicated when there's 57,000 ballots in question here?
That's what I was wondering. And also, is it possible or not to see who voted for whom in those 57,000 ballots that are in question?
Exactly.
Do we know whether it's possible?
I don't know if it's possible or not. It seems like if you're going to do a full forensic audit, you would not attach a name to it, but you would try to find out, of these 17,000 some duplicates that Dr. Shiva, what was the margin there? And, the election was November 3rd, Tuesday, November 3rd. And why was there some strange surge of duplicate ballots just after the election? Okay.
Yeah,
that seems to me a pretty big question mark, right?
Yeah. And also, yesterday, Boyles was could hardly contain himself. He was gloating over a leak. You know, he had an advanced leak, supposedly, that all of the audit showed was that Trump got credit originally for 261 more votes than he should have had. I don't know where that came from, but he could hardly contain himself.
Well, I could imagine, but in that advanced copy, they didn't have the information that Dr. Shiva had on the duplicate ballots. So
yeah.
it was an incomplete advance release, and that went through all the media. I mean, that's what came through the mainstream media before that hearing even started.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that, apparently, it you're right, it didn't answer that many questions. It just raised new questions.
Yep, it raised new questions, and these auditors kept highlighting the limitations that they were under, and they couldn't look into this, they couldn't look into that. That wasn't part of their scope. And all the resistance they kept facing along the way from the Maricopa County officials and the lack of cooperation they were getting from the Maricopa County officials. So I just felt like that they were hamstrung through this entire process, and that, that's kind of the way it works, I guess, isn't it?
Apparently, and I just it's very frustrating to because people are just going to draw conclusions that they want to draw.
Exactly.
And, and it's just irritating. I mean, by the way, is Maricopa County primarily a Republican or a Democrat county generally?
You know, that's a good question, and I think it tends to be a little bit more Republican. Isn't that where Joe Arpaio, the sheriff, America's sheriff, was the sheriff out in that area for a long time?
I'm
but
not sure.
I don't know sort of what the data is, but I've always thought a little bit right-leaning county. Yeah.
Hmm. So, well, I mean, there's a lot more to it than people like Boyles will ever acknowledge.
Well, and that's where I'll just say, let's just go through this piece by piece, and some of this might be put off to the third hour of the program, in which we'll, get the calls rolling again on this topic. But that's just kind of where we are right now, and the way I look at it is when you're up against the deep state, these are the kind of the way these things go. We've got a long history of that going back through Spygate and all of that, But anyway, I guess we better do the break. But Ron Conifer, thank you. I think you're seeing it right. All the best to you, sir. Right on.
Thanks.
And it's Matt Dunn in for Randy Corcoran this morning. Why don't we take our next break here and be right back. Right on. Matt Dunn in for Randy Corcoran this morning. Going through some of the Arizona audit action. And again, a lot of this will get more completely done in hour three. Next hour, we're going to have a great chance to speak with Kyle Mills, author of the Vince Flynn thriller books. Since the passing of Vince Flynn, that's coming up. And I believe it's the number one thriller right now in the United States of America. But let's get to some phone action here pronto. And Mike in Aurora, what thoughts from Mike?
Yeah, Matt, good job you're doing there.
Hey, right on. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Joe, the first caller, he is great, wasn't he, though?
Yeah, pretty much, totally, yeah.
Yeah, he danced around. He said there's a radio talk show host on your station that's a closeted liberal, so-called conservative, but he wouldn't name him. And Ron from Conifer kind of stole my thunder, but his name is Peter J. Boyle.
Well, I'll tell you, it's better to have you call Peter Boyles to talk about that, and I do feel it's maybe a little bit not the best form for me on a different show to say much about, the other shows. But just in terms of how you're taking it, Mike, how are you taking what you've seen and learned about Arizona so far?
Well, I like your comment specifically there about you had no idea there were so many ways to fraud the vote. And I have to concur. I hadn't. But remember when Biden said during that interview, congratulations, guys, you created the most elaborate voter fraud system ever? Remember that?
No, I don't remember that. But yeah. Actually, yes. That was during the campaign, 2020 campaign. Yes.
I thought, I thought it was after. I guess it was right before the election.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember playing that over on Backbone Radio, and, you know, maybe it was a slip of the tongue, but that's what he said. You got the quote.
I couldn't remember if it was before or after the election.
Yeah, same here.
You think it was before?
Well, either way, it was something he said, you know. That's one of your takeaways is, you feel like, man, you see all these different ways that things can get messy, and it was just one mess after another. They pointed out for hours, one mess after another. And then, of course, the mainstream media draws their conclusion. But, in the end, we've got 57,000 ballots in question just in Maricopa, and the Biden margin was 10,000 for the whole state. So,
I think Joe spilled the beans when he said elaborate. And Joe, for once in his life, he told the truth.
Yeah, he very well might have. And once in a while, you know, in whatever state of mind he's in, that slips out. That's why they kind of try to keep him hidden all the time. And I'll tell you what, Mike, in the interest of all the people behind you, I better keep moving to try to get everybody in before the end of this hour. Thank you, Mike. Chuck in Oklahoma. Hello, Chuck. Welcome.
Morning, Matt. I want to set this up by saying, if you remember election night, I was watching Fox, maybe you were too, I don't know, but Brett Baer is doing the reporting, and I guess it was about 8 o'clock. Remember, like when they called the Arizona?
Yep, they called it early.
Right now, to dive into it a little bit deeper, they were, I guess because they were catching a lot of heat, and they were trying to explain about how they come to call different states at different times or whatever. And lo and behold, the guy who's ahead of the, I guess they call it the call desk, like the ones who decide which states are going to be called, he turned out to be that big, I can't remember the guy's name, but that big Obama guy. And the way he was starting to explain things, it was almost like, okay, that's pretty much all you need to know. But that's how it started. So, I mean, it's almost like he knew ahead of time. Of course, I'm sure they all did. You know what I'm saying? There's no such thing as keeping a secret or whatever. It's just like in your office when you come in the morning, nobody has to sit down and give you like a long speech about what needs to be done. You walk in, you know what needs to be done. The same with that. But that's how it all started. And I'm not surprised of all the continuing irregularities, let's call them, I guess, or abnormalities that went on down there that we can't really, I guess you can't really prove, but you know. Oh, I don't know. You know it wasn't right. Let's put it that way.
Yep. That's how I feel about it. And, now it's over to A.G. Brnovich to look into, you know, we're going to bring some law enforcement into the situation. And A.G. Brnovich doesn't have a very inspiring track record in that he and Doug Ducey have both kind of been turning the blind eye to all of this. So we'll see if any of that goes anywhere, but Brnovich is running for Senate. He says he's going to do what Karen Fann, the Senate president, asked him to do to take the next steps, and I'll detail those as the show goes on. But right on, Chuck. I mean, that's where it is right now. So keep carrying on down there. Keep staying close with us, and let's get over to Holly and Aurora. We're tight on time at the end of the hour, but what's your reaction to Arizona?
Thanks, Mike. Mark.
Matt. Yeah.
Sorry, Matt. I'm sorry. I knew your name. I just can't say it. thanks. I just wanted to say real quick, Joe, please, Joe, if you're still listening, listen to me when I tell you. When you go into work on Monday, have yourself calmed down, but have yourself armed just like you were on the radio today. And take all of those results and everything that you've gotten into people and talk to as many people as you can. But you need to stop being angry that people are not doing the research for themselves. That turned out to be your spot. That was your spot. And you have done it. Now, share it with as many people as you can. And each and every one of us listeners, need to be on the rim of the wheel and find your spot and share that with the radio station. Let the radio station be the hub where we all learn from each other. We learned so much from Father Hugh when he was here. We learned so much from Charlene when she calls in. We learned so much from Tom, even all of that. So just find your place and don't be angry. I don't have a computer. I couldn't have listened if I had wanted to. I have the time, but I couldn't have done it. So, Joe, just know this was your spot, and you did it perfectly. Now get in there and tell everybody you can, but if you're angry, you're not going to be able to tell anybody anything. So just calm down and share. Okay?
Interesting points,
you're
Holly.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And you did it perfect.
Well, and thanks for mentioning the Father Hughes and the Toms and some other folks. Charlene, thanks for mentioning some of those brilliant minds.
Artists.
That have checked in and
go
down that list. But I didn't sense that Joe was particularly angry. But I
he
guess
was.
There's that
he was.
There's
mad.
The place.
He was mad that we didn't look at it into it ourselves. But you never know how come somebody couldn't or maybe didn't.
Right. Well, it takes an awful lot of work to listen to a very technical, multiple-hour sort of thing here, which is so easy for the mainstream media to just do whatever they want with. You know, I mean, that kind of technicality, you're only going to get a handful of people that really understand it all, and that's just kind of the way it goes, and that's the way it was with Spygate and so forth. But at any rate, go ahead.
Okay. I can guarantee if Joe is more calm and he calls in to Peter's show in the morning, all of those people who listen are people like you guys who work all the time and they can only listen for a couple of hours. And if he would call in and be calm, Peter won't shut him down. But if he's not calm, he won't get his message across.
Well,
and he
right on. Fair enough there,
thanks,
Holly.
Matt.
Yeah, hey, thank you. Bless you out there. You keep staying groovy. And let's let's keep carrying right on here. Matt Dunn for Randy Corporal. We come back. Let's talk to Kyle Mills, author of the Vince Flynn, the Mitch Rapp thriller series, calling in from Spain when we come back after this.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.